martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty is real.
How have I been this successful in life?
How indeed, Lance. Who is, I think, off to a decent year with the MMA bet, isn't he?
Yeah, that's why he's not showing up.
Not so much the golf, but
the
MMA is working for him.
I'm going to take fault on that one. I've started to actually tail his bets for the last month or so consistently. And we're not even getting close. So I'll take the fault for that one. He's absolutely crushing MMA because he doesn't look at the fights until, you know, Thursday, Friday morning, looks at them for 10 minutes and fires out bets and he wins. If he came on here and started talking, he would probably confuse himself and overthink things, and he would lose. So that's why I'm guessing he hasn't shown up.
His brain is in a pretzel right now, not even listening to this, having heard you talk about it. So you got him. It's over now. I have luckily not been tailing golf, which is usually when he wins. So maybe we're doing a little reverse this year. We'll figure all that out.
It's not good for anyone.
Anyway, as you can see, we're back, two of us. I apologize for the flashing that's going on this side here. I have turned on the fights from last week for the first time. So that's going to tell you about how our recap of last week is going to go. And then we'll move on to more stuff from this week. But if anything cool happens from last week's card, I'll let you know. I heard not a whole lot, but we shall see. We do have, 14 fights. It's usually like 14 fights, isn't it?
As it says in my name, 14 fights in the Apex. Buckle up, people.
On this one. No, 14. It says 14. Yeah. Okay. They used to have it like beside on Tapology, and they put it like in the middle now. Put it back on the side. It was better on the side.
Supposedly they did some big upgrades, or they are about to do some big upgrades for Tapology. I haven't dove too far in, but supposedly they've had the same overall layout for a very, very long time, and they want to
They have, and that's what's great.
I know.
That's what people like. They're used to it. Just fucking leave it the way it is. Maybe like upgrade some code in the background, but don't overhaul things. Come on.
I don't know. I'm hoping it's not too much and it's just a good amount of additions and cleaning up, but I guess we'll see. I'm a SureDog guy. I'm late to the Tapology party. I just have always...
Well, that's why I left SureDog, because they did that like whole change.
Yeah.
Like, this was probably like a decade ago now, and I was just like, This is gross. I don't want to use this anymore. And now I'm tapping. Maybe I'll go back to SureDog. Their results I find to be more thorough than Tapology's anyway. It's just Tapology became easier to navigate. So, easy to navigate, Sean? The judicial system for the UFC's lawyers.
When you're a billion-dollar company, it's a fairly easy way to navigate and not have to shell out anything that is of substance to you, and you just keep going on your merry way.
Yep. I saw somebody, I think it was probably John Nash, because he knows everything about this stuff, saying that they have that much money in their cash on hand right now. So they can
I don't know if you heard, Bradley. Last year was an amazing year for the UFC, which was mind-boggling because, yes, it had some good fights, but it wasn't like a monster year. Conor didn't fight. Like, there wasn't massive pay-per-views, and they still absolutely crushed it. So we're in for more of what is happening on Saturday and what happened last Saturday, because that is what is paying the bills right now.
One more piece of news. I know we don't do a lot of news here, but we're not talking about last week's fights for very long, if at all. The UFC 300 poster dropped today, Sean. Did you see that? That was
That was the hotness. Man, it was a busy day of Twitter today. You got that, and then the lawsuit, and it was amazing from just perfect UFC day, just mailing it in on the poster and just mailing out some change to the fighters.
That's the model. It's working. And more of it this weekend. Well, first, Marcin Tiburi's Tai Tuivasa back on the prelims. First round rear naked choke. Brian Battle steals one, or tries to steal one, from the boy Ange. No contest due to an accidental eye poke, and then drama. All of the drama ensued. I saw more videos of that than any highlights from the fights on my feed. Like,
that's what we were in for on Saturday.
Checked out completely. off with the split decision over Kenny Nunchucks. I'm going to blame you a little bit for that one, because I think that was like one of the first things that I brought up last week. And you
can't blame me. No, that's a Wes. I played the over one and a half. I played the over one and a half. Okay. And I was even thinking, like, when we came into the podcast, I was like, well, Osp should not be +500 +600 to
it's not even that Kenny Nunchucks. It's just Kenny Nunchucks should
Kenny Nunchucks should be -500 -600 -700 to anyone. And Wes was like, man, Osp is gone. He's going to get fucking just smoked. And I was like, is Kenny Nunchucks going to smoke him?
Thank you.
It ended up being absolutely sloppy and fun. So you can't be. That's about as good as you can get these in a fight of this caliber. So that was all right.
Christian Rodriguez. I'm just going to go through them.
And yeah, rip through the whole main card.
Christian Rodriguez split decision over the Bulgarian. Never in doubt, from what I'm told. Messi Chasson. Stoppage. The first round rear naked choke against Penny. And the Meerkat. Lots of rear naked chokes on this card. Meerkat's doing one himself to old Bam Bam. Bram Barbarina. It's about to happen on my screen. Anything that you wanted to talk about for those?
The Bam Bams got smoked. Tuivasa he's just not good. Put him against other shitty guys. Like, Tarbura is not good, but he's a little bit above the shit that is heavyweight.
Yeah.
Just play Tuivasa, just knock some fools out, because guys that can take him down are obviously going to beat him. That's what he did. He had to take a little bit of damage to do it, but then as soon as it was on the ground, it was over. Battle was smoking Lusa. Lusa made a business decision, and people are mad about it. I don't think we should have hit consensus last week. Christian Rodriguez probably didn't win. Second round is obviously close because literally nothing happened. Like, there was, you know, four strikes landed. One guy was grappling more and probably should have won. Weird fight. When you get scores like 28-27, it's an interesting fight. Meerkat. I tried to warn you guys. Barbarina at 185. No bueno. No
that's
bueno.
That's what I thought against Thiago Silva, whoever he fought last time as well. Like, he didn't start off that. Barbarina.
Yeah, that's just...
You know what?
He got crushed by Muradov. He got crushed by Muradov. It's just Muradov couldn't finish him. That's all that was. Like, he was a punching bag.
He's always a punching bag. No, that was
turns
that
out. If you grapple him, it's a little bit easier to get him out of there because he can Homer Simpson all day.
Also, if you told me that Meerkat was actually going to come out and wrestle him, then I would have been like, yeah, -700.
Yeah.
But you can't always trust that guy to do that. Tremendous mustache on the fella, though. I'll tell you that much. Just
man can grow him.
Just a heater on the face. The rest of the card, Mike Davis, arm triangle over Natan Levy. I think that might be a war crime. Chelsea Chandler, unanimous decision over Josiane Nunes. Jafar, first round rear naked choke over Oday Osborne. I think you guys were all over that one.
Wes.
Fair enough. Danny Silva with a split decision over Josh Koulibaly. That one didn't go our way, apparently. Although I didn't end up playing Koulibaly, but
smart.
We were thinking about it. We were like pretty confident.
Wes didn't. Yeah, I was a little more hesitant. Wes was in on it.
Fair enough. Yeah. I was in on Corey McKenna, and that did not go well. Armbar from guard in women's MMA. Who could have guessed? Thiago Moises kicked the guy in the legs a bunch, from what I'm guessing. Third round TKO.
Yep.
And I actually did watch this. This one was in the hotel room just as we were getting
ready.
You
gotta watch the Canadian. Come on now.
Well, yeah, you gotta support the boys. And easy work. Easy work. We cashed one to start the night. So that was good. Anything on any of those?
I threw a dart on Levy and it was not even close. Mike Davis should have been like minus 3,000. Yeah, I'll give props to Wes. He was saying that Philo was going to smoke Osborne and choke him out. And I looked at the dub and it was only like plus 175. But obviously that seems like it was fairly easy. The only worrisome was if he was going to punch the guy out, which it could have got there at a couple times. So I think Lance had taken inside the distance. That was probably the safer way to go. Yeah, I dodged a bullet on Koulibaly. I dodged a bullet on McKenna. That's fucking bad.
That's my own. I deserve that. I did.
I was eyeing it too. I was like, this seems short. And then, but I didn't, you know, obviously take into factor the old arm bar from guard.
Yeah, she's got no arms. How do you get armbarred?
I don't know. I don't know. She was, it's women's MMA. They'll find a way, Bradley. You don't worry about that. Yeah. And then the Canadian pound per pound nine, big W as an underdog.
He earned his top 10 spot. I'll tell you that much.
Good hit for you and Wes on that one. I didn't touch it.
That's fair. More of that coming this week. UFC Vegas 89. That one I knew because we said UFC Lindros last time, and that stuck in my brain. So maybe we're onto something there. Just as we get to all of the interesting numbers. 14 fights, as we said, and we'll start it off in the heavyweight division. Did they get this card wrong? Shouldn't this be a main event? We got big Mo Usman. He's on a 5-fight winning streak, if you include Tough. 3 fights in the heavyweight, getting 3 fights and not being on a main card. I mean, it's unheard of in this day and age. And the other guy's undefeated. Sean, what's going on here? Are they learning? Are the machines learning?
They might be. Yeah, Muhammad Usman, another one of Wes's boys. He the problem with him is he watches Tough. You can't watch that shit because it makes it gives you a little bit of a too much of an eye on these guys, and you just need to like stand back and be like, well, is the guy that he's fighting also very shitty? Then it's probably not a great sign to fade him. I don't think McBarkin is that good. Usman maybe gets some takedowns. He is not good, and he is going to get smoked at some point. I just don't know if Mick Parkin's the guy to do it. This is shitty low-level heavyweights. You probably take the dog in Toutmaster, which is Muhammad Usman.
Muhammad Usman has made me some money.
There we go.
Between the obvious Tough finale plus 230. I mean, you got to fade a dude that's minus 2 whatever in a Tough finale.
That was an angle for a while, just taking big dogs in the Tough.
Tough finals. Well, back when people used to actually watch Tough, and they would get hyped up on these guys, and then you just fade them in the finale. But now nobody watches Tough except Wes, so we just got to fade him. And then overs, because the fluke knockout in the Tough finale. So Usman, that's my dude. We're gonna roll with him one more time here. Gonna be lots of hugging on the cage. Not a whole lot happening. -300 for the over 1.5.
Oh, we're in for a treat.
Like, this is you have to pay some juice for fight goes distance in this one, which, like, that should mean that you're willing to bet that there'll be a finish in a heavyweight fight. But no, I don't think it happens. Not with these dudes. Bam Bam just died, yep. By the way.
Yeah, he killed him. He he went out on his shield.
What's Usman by decision here? It can't be that big.
It's probably not, considering what the over is. Usman by decision, 225. It was 300 at open, and people are betting it.
Understandably.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe Mo Usman here. Maybe decision. We'll see. Lots of hugging. So much hugging. And then we go, it's going to look like we went fast forward, because we're going to the flyweight division. Igor Severino and Andre Lima. I have no idea who either of these guys are, but they're Brazilians, and USADA's not around anymore, so I'm assuming they're going to be fun.
I mean, it's flyweights. It's generally, it's pretty fun. And then you got an possible double dose of mountain yams from the countryside in Brazil. Yeah, I have no idea. I will pick the dog, who is Igor. Let's get some takedowns. That's what we want.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't even know these guys well enough to be like, you know, they're flyweights. They're taking a step up in competition, so it's probably going to go a little bit longer. I mean, the over 1.5 here is -175. I would assume that's going to hit when you get to flyweights that are at this level. But just nothing for me here. So maybe it'll be awesome and I'll catch it at some point, but absolutely nothing going into that one. Likewise, we've got the Monster Rat Remix taking on Daria. I'm in the UFC because I'm hot, Akova, in the women's bantamweight division.
Yeah. Take the dog. Low level WMMA.
I don't know who the dog is. You would have to tell me.
That would be the Monster Rat.
Monster Rat 2.0. Let's go. Easy. Just for Towmaster. I'm not
easy
picking that. Not betting it. And we'll keep it moving. Steven Wynn. Featherweight division. Yarno Ahrens. Y'all know Ahrens? Run some errands? That's what I'll be doing during this fight.
Yeah. I mean, it should be fairly action. I feel like Steven Wynn pushes, you know, he's usually in fun fights. He's getting hit a bunch, but he's also punching a good amount. What are we doing? I guess I'll take Steven Wynn.
Is he the dog or something?
He's the favorite. He's the favorite.
But I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to take the guy who wasn't sometimes able to get punched by that like hick that hangs out with Bryce Mitchell. Because that guy's AJ real Cunningham? Bad. Yeah. And he hit this guy a bit. So that's a little concerning. I know that old Ahrens has not looked good at all in the UFC, but the other guy has not looked good not in the UFC. So deep stuff for you there, folks. No bet. Again, they're probably taking Aaron's in Toutmaster. I should do a Toutmaster recap, but I don't have the tab open right now. Nah. We'll do it later. Next week. Maybe before a card that people are interested in.
There we go.
Bantamweight division. Miles Johns. Cody Gibson. I have watched these two guys fight, so that's a step in the right direction.
We're getting better. We're getting better. Do you remember what happened in the Miles Johns Dan Argueta fight? Ah, Johns with the 4.5 month for old steroids. Well, guess what? It's a new year, and
you're not getting caught like that anymore.
I feel like the testers are pretty slacking. I know Gibson had a fun, you know, action fight with Brad Katona, which I didn't know was possible.
That was a good fight.
It was a good fight, and I think it was a good fight because we had low expectations of what Brad Katona was going to do, and he decided to actually put on a fun fight. I think Miles Johns is pretty good. You know, he's got a couple losses in the UFC, but against guys that are, you know, should be below him, he usually does well, and I think he's just better than Gibson. So I'll be seeing if I want to parlay him. It's only -140. I just hate laying that juice on just such low level shit. I'd rather put in a parlay and possibly lose it anyway. But Johns by decision +180. Like a little bit more than that, but I like Johns to win.
This is still that price range where I feel okay just laying it.
Yeah.
Usually up to like -150, I'm all right. And then if it's starting to tilt in the other direction, that's when I start looking parlay. I agree with you here. I think that Miles Johns is a pretty good fighter. Cody Gibson is a relatively tough dude who made his way back to the UFC because they did a tough for like filler fighters. Sorry.
For guys that were cut because they couldn't win when there was better guys in the UFC.
Yeah. So like you would have been right near the bottom of the roster at that time. Anyway, you're probably slightly above that now, but I know that Miles Johns is significantly above that. So like Miles Johns here, I honestly don't mind playing him straight. I haven't yet. But what are the, -140s there real? It's hard to tell sometimes. Oh, yeah. Depending on which spot you're looking at. -142. Yeah.
-41 at BetOnline. Oh yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, we'll do that. Probably end up with a little bet on Miles Johns here. Next up in the featherweight division, Ricardo Ramos taking on Juicy J, Juliana Rosa. This one, at the very least, should be fun. Or weird. Weird fun.
Lost a bunch of money betting against Juliana Rosa because I thought he was shit.
And but then you also lose a bunch of money betting on him later because he kind of is shit.
100%. 100%. I lost money against Padilla last time. Pretty sure I lost money against Alex Caceres. So I got just shafted both when he's winning and he's losing. Our wise friend, Maddie, says you don't bet on fighters that have lost to Charles Jourdain. One of these guys has lost him. One of these guys has beat him. I know Oroza could just get flatlined like he has in his last two fights. If it gets out of that, I think he kind of takes over with his pace and Ramos kind of wilts and maybe Oroza gets a late finish.
Yeah. So throughout his recent UFC stint, the only guys to beat Juicy J after the first round are Grant Dawson and Julio Arce.
Oh, good. That's fighters.
Yeah, those guys are actually very good. Aside from that, he either gets flatlined or he takes over later into a fight and beats a dude. And I think, first of all, there's a chance that Hamosh might start grappling in this fight because he's gone to his wrestling a little bit more, which will probably be good for him early on in the fight. I just don't think he can maintain that for 15 minutes against a guy who's going to put a pace on him. But even if he strikes, like, he's that kind of weird, creative striker. It's stupid shit, like the behind the leg kick taps that he was doing several fights ago. Like, weird shit like that. He's in there to do cool things and not necessarily hurt his opponent, which is good if you're betting on Juicy J, because that chin. But yeah, I think I'm going to have something on Juicy J here. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be the money line or if I'm just going to look at those later props. One thing that I did pull up before the show were the round two and three submission props, because I could see one of those happening, just like a quit job by Ramos and getting stuck in a darce or something like that. But looks like somebody else has already been thinking the same thing because it's been bet down a little. So we'll wait to see when it opens up at more spots and we will get to it at that point. Sean, next up, the prelim headliner.
Oh, yeah.
Trey Ogden. Kurt Hullabaugh. Kurt Hullabaugh is a star. He's is he a tough champion?
I believe he was. Was this not the other tough finale fight?
Yeah. Him and
Hubbard.
And Thud. Old Thud Hubbard.
Hullabaugh's kind of always an underdog. He was an underdog against Hubbard there. He was able to get a win. He's an underdog here. Ogden's probably going to go for some takedowns. I guess we'll see some fun stuff down there because, you know, Hullabaugh's got an okay guard. I think it's probably a close fight. The line's fairly close. I'll probably just pick the dog in Toutmaster, which is Hullabaugh. Can't get Trey Ogden losing to leave it out of my head. But not enough that I don't think I'm gonna bet the other way.
That's fair. Quick little recap here. The egg dude will be lucky if he leaves the octagon with everything attached to his body in that fight. Yep. Kung Lee did the thing. I don't know what's going on with the hog and PFL. That's
the hog should just retire. Retire a rich man with a good amount of brain cells.
Yeah, that would be a reasonable thing for him to do. And yeah, I don't know about the rest of the stuff that's there. Anyway, I'm going to take Kurt Hullabaugh here. I think that lines on Trey Ogden have been heavily influenced by the fact that he's got a win on his record over Daniel Zellhuber. But like nothing happened in that. Like Zellhuber did not do anything in that fight. So I don't think that really counts for a whole lot. One thing you could say about Kurt Hullabaugh is he will go in there and he will do stuff in a fight. I think that he's going to be aggressive here. I don't think that Ogden's wrestling is great. If it was, he probably would have been able to out-wrestle Jordan Leavitt and win that fight. Yeah, I'm going to take Kurt Hullabaugh. Probably Ogden's one of those guys that likes to like sneaky give up a sub. And Hullabaugh will snatch something like that up. But yeah, I think I'm just going to stay away from props here and go with Hullabaugh. I'm going to have a little bet there. That one feels great. Main card now, Sean. And as you will be able to tell by the names that I'm about to say, taking a big step up. Featherweight division, Luis Pajuelo taking on Fernando Padilla.
But he is an interesting guy because he kind of came in as a decent sized underdog. I faded, or was he a favorite to Arosa? Fuck, I can't remember now.
Make me look at stuff.
No, I already looked it up. He Arosa was like a -160 favorite, which I thought was wild. I was like, this guy's beat some guys in UFC, and who the fuck is this Padilla guy? But as we talked about with Arosa, if you just flatline him, which he is hittable early on, you can beat him. And that's what Padilla did. And then he was a decent favorite to a pretty...
I got him right back.
Yeah, you got him right back. I unfortunately was not able to cash in. I kind of just stayed away from that one. But Kyle Nelson was able to beat him. And I felt like it wasn't even that... I mean, it was a close-ish fight, but like... Nelson got a 30-27. Like, it was Sal, yeah. But there wasn't really too much question at the end of that fight. As for this fight, it's probably going to be on the feet, and Padilla's looked pretty good on the feet. Don't know much about Pajuela. Looks like he's crushes some guys on the regional scene. So this should be fun for however long it lasts. I'll take Padilla to get it done, but we might see some tall guy defense.
I was just about to say, Padilla is real tall. Like, too tall.
Like, weird-looking tall.
Yeah.
For this weight class.
Like, not quite Woodson tall.
No. Well, he's not an alien.
Like, he's closer to Woodson than he is to a normal human.
Yes.
That's never good. So... I guess that means I'll take Pajuelo for a Toutmaster pick. This is going to be either... This is going to get me right back in the game in Toutmaster with all these dudes, or I'm just going to be completely out of it. I know they're not like big dogs, but you start hitting consistent 140s, 160s. That
helps.
That'll add up pretty quickly. It helps. Anyway, we are on... to again the featherweight division, which I don't mind. That, like, if you're gonna have a bunch of filler fights, at least make them flyweights to lightweights so we can watch guys, or then just skip all the way up to the heavyweights.
Let's get sloppy. Yeah,
I want to either watch guys that actually are coordinated and know what to do, or just the schlubbiest schlubs that you've ever seen in your life. So. Kudos to you on that, UFC. I'm trying to be positive, Sean. I'm trying to be positive today.
Try.
Featherweight division. Yusuf Zalal back from a stint in Sparta FC with like a weird tournament thing that he did. Did you see that? The tournament? Where it was like a boxing, kickboxing, and MMA all on the same night.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did that. And now he's back in the UFC after getting cut from the UFC. He's taken on Billy Q, who, fun fact, has never been cut from the UFC. Takes to the bank.
That's fair. Billy Q's alternated wins and losses in the last, like, seven fights. Not great, because he won his last fight, but this should be a pretty fun fight. Billy Q's in basically only fun fights, so that's not really saying much. But Billy Q opened -300. I kind of get why it's kind of got smashed the other way. It's that was a bit high, I think. Like Lazal is decent. Like, yeah, he's gone off and smoked the guys on, you know, low level regional. But he had a tough run in the UFC. The Tapuri and Woodson losses, you can't really blame him. Those guys are pretty good. And, you know, he went to a close decision against Woodson. But I just think Billy Q's forward progress, he's just going to wear this guy out. I guess Zalal could take him down, but I think Billy Q's got decent enough get-up game to get it back on the feet and coming forward and just kind of wearing this dude out. possibly gets a late finish. But Zolo hasn't been finished, so it's not that's not really an easy task for Billy Q, but I think he can do it with his cardio. But I took him -124. It's wild that the price has swung as much as it has. I think it's gone a little bit too far now. So I played Billy Q for 2 units.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we're either going to look like idiots on this one, or just like everybody else that bet this down from 300 is probably going to look okay for a round. Because Zalal can probably get some takedowns and, you know, have a little bit of effective offense early. But Billy Q is going to take over this fight the later that it gets. I know that Zalal had his good third round against Topuria, who took a fight on 3 days' notice forever ago. But he's kind of known for fading late in fights. Like, wasn't it the Black Shear fight where he just got... oh, no, it was the other way around. Right? He kicked the shit out of Black Shear on the end of that fight.
Right.
He was getting grappled earlier, right?
Yep.
I'm done. Anyway, that's not going to happen against Billy Q, where you can rely on coming back at the end of the fight and putting a 10-8 on a guy. He's just going to keep upping the pace on you. And if Zalal can't keep getting consistent takedowns, and I don't think he will be able to later on in this fight, I think he's just going to get backed up and he's going to start eating combos. And Billy's probably not going to finish him because he's a tough dude. But, man, I think that the right line here is a whole lot closer to the opener than it is to -124. So, Billy Q, consensus bet of the week.
Oh.
There we go. Easy one last week. Hopefully just as easy this week. Bantamweight division up next. Peyton Talbot and Cameron Simon. Peyton Talbot is apparently supposed to be interesting. Do you find him interesting, Sean?
No, because I don't give a shit enough to. He smashed Nick Aguirre. That's not saying much. Nick Aguirre, I don't think, is very good. Simon might be all right. Yeah, he's gone for a bunch of takedowns and not got many. So I don't know if he's going to have too much success. I think that's his better path to victory against Peyton Talbot. But I'll just pick Simon. I'm going to pass on it for a bit, though.
Yeah, I think he went for a bunch of takedowns, but didn't necessarily have success because he was fighting a guy who we just saw fight at featherweight last week. Wasn't that the one where Christian Rodriguez missed weight by like 4 pounds or something? Like one of the ridiculous weight misses that everyone knew was pretty blatant when it happened. That was so bad that it got him kicked up to the next weight division for his next fight. So again, I think that that's not quite going to happen here. And Peyton Talbot is just like, he hasn't fought anybody approaching good yet. He's just been able to do whatever he wants physically to anybody that he's in the cage with. And that lets him do like the cool, goofy O'Malley shit that he used to do when he first came in. But he's not nearly as good at any of it. So I think he's going to run into a fighter that actually knows how to come forward and put pressure on you and isn't going to get backed off when you land a couple shots on him, because he's going to land shots on Simon here. But I don't think that he is going to be able to withstand the pressure of that for 2-3 rounds the same way that he's been able to control every fight that he's been into up to this point in his career. So I've got a little bet on Simon at +135. The line seems to be moving, so I don't know that I'm going to be able to get any more or that I would really want to get any more. but Simul will be a one unit bet for me. Middleweight division, AJ Dobson. Do you think Mark Coleman will be in his corner?
That might be a tough ask.
He was back in the gym. He was in that little video with Matt Brown, but like for him, he can't keep it calm if he's in the corner, so that it's probably best if he stays away.
Yeah.
But man, what a story that was. Like,
wild.
Let's not talk about how sad it is that a UFC Hall of Famer has to live in the same house as his 90-year-old parents. Let's gloss over that part of it. But the fact that he ran back into that building and saved them and like, whew, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
But the reason that I said all that, obviously because it was cool, but also he has cornered AJ Dobson in the past. And that fella is taking on the Armenian Canelo, Edmund Shahbazyan. Sean, is he back?
I don't think he's back. I don't think he's back. I don't think he's that good. I do think he's better than AJ Dobson. Shahbazyan, you know, he won the first round against Fluffy. It was very good. Obviously, it fell off after that, but I don't know. Like, I think he's a better overall fighter. I think he's a better striker than Dobson, and he might be a little bit better grappler than him. I think it stays on the feet, and Shahbazyan is able to use his fairly decent striking. And does he get Dobson out of there? I don't know. I kind of hope he does, because that would be better, but Dobson's never been finished. I think that chin's going to get tested. I'm probably going to parlay Shahbazyan small. There is not much to bet on that I'm liking on this card, so I feel like wasting some money on the Armenian Canelo.
Can I suggest maybe the over 1.5 if you want to parlay something in this fight? Because, like, are you really that confident if this fight goes over that Shahbazyan's going to win?
Yeah, over 1.5 is cheaper. I don't know. That's not a bad eye. That's not a bad one. That might be a better plan than what I'm doing.
I agree. He is much better, like much more talented, and he is going to win the first round. But if he doesn't get him over there in the first round, shit could get dicey. So I don't know. That's the first thing that caught my eye when I was looking at this. And then, you know, if I want to get a little, it's not even nuts. The price on Dobson decision, the highest that I'm seeing is plus 380. I think if I'm looking for something just to throw 50
same game parlay on, over 1.5 in Dobson, then you don't have to worry about a gas Shahbazyan getting finished with like 2 minutes left in the third.
There you go. We'll see. I've always forget to look at those. They're available at a bunch of places now. Yeah. They're kind of like when I used to look at the points handicaps before a lot of people did that. I feel like I'm behind on this one. Just getting old, Sean. Getting old. But that could be another somewhat small dog pick in Doubtmaster. Co-main event. So if you were worried earlier, back in the first fight of the night, we were like, wow, they're getting the heavyweights out of here this early. And then you were like, oh, I get it. These guys are minus 300 to go over 1.5 rounds. And then you got to the co-main event. You're like, whoa, Carl Williams is fighting. that dude is definitely all about finishing fights as a heavyweight, and that's why he is in the co-main event slot, taking on the shitty Laffy Taffy, Sean.
Fuck, man, they're not even giving you good prices on Williams, either inside or by decision.
At least give me a co-main event that I can bet. All right.
Like, even if you were looking contrarian, you're like, well, I know Williams doesn't finish people, but he also is fighting Justin Taffa, who he's probably going to take down a lot, and Taffa's going to gas, and maybe he just gets a mercy finish, but the price is like plus 155. Do I really want to have a plus 155 and pray that Williams does something with those takedowns? I think he wins. I might parlay him at minus 180 with Shabazzian. Just have an absolute dumpster fire parlay right there. Taffa has not really fought anybody that can grapple. And Williams can. So I think Williams takes him down. If he gets caught, he gets caught. I mean, this is heavyweights, shitty heavyweights. It can happen to guys, but I think Carl Williams takes him down a bunch and ends up finishing him.
Wait, this is the good Taffy, right?
Is there a good one?
Like, in a relative sense.
This is the slightly better one, I guess, but he has also lost to Jared Vanderbred and Carlos Felipe and Jorgen De Castro.
And what did he lose to Vanderbred and Brazilian Diaz as? Or by, I shall say.
By decision, but those guys were striking with him, not really grappling him. That's the only difference there.
Wasn't that the fight where people were like, oh man, look at the pace on this Carlos Felipe dude.
He showed a glimmer of something in one fight, and I was sold on that shitty, shitty heavyweight.
Incredible. I mean, the results since then are pretty hilarious. Harry Huntsucker, Porky Porker, no contest with Austin Lane, and then a knockout of Austin Lane in the exact same way that the no contest was going to happen.
I don't know who these Oceanic managers are that get these guys these matchups.
It's
Taffa and Pedro before he friggin' retired. He got like ease. Like, obviously, at some point, he had to step up, but like, he was getting cakewalk fights. And same with this guy.
Jeez, it's impressive. Like, if the fighters had that dude with them for the lawsuit, holy, the UFC would not be holding a card this weekend. That's how much they would have got taken for. He's not good. I said he was the good Taffy, but there is, as Sean said, there is no good Taffy. Carl Williams is going to get takedowns here, and then he's still not going to do anything with takedowns. I kind of don't mind him as a parlay piece, though. If we're desperate and we're looking for stuff, we're going to do that Armenian Canelo over with Carl Williams, get ourselves some plus money, and have a time of it. Whew, the state of this sport. Love it. Main event, women's flyweight division. Amanda Ribas. Hosna Mahunas. Chud Hose looks like she's been on Pat Barry's diet for this. And no, I'm not talking about Predator Pat's open mat at the gym on Sundays, okay? I'm talking about Pat at the buffet. So let's not get any ideas here. Sean, and if you gave me that joke, know that you're appreciated.
Oh, and I love it.
Your secret is safe with me. Sean, what do we got in this stunning main event?
Yeah, it's a barn burner. If Rose is who she was and is the good Rose, she probably wins here and probably does somewhat easily. I just don't know if it's there anymore. She's up at 125 when she seems like she could make 15 easy, and was much better division for her. Chicky's fighting has been switching between 15 and 25, so it's not like she's going to be super big, but Rose isn't training with Trevor Whitman anymore. He's not going to be in her corner. I don't know. Does she want to fight? Does she ever want to fight? I don't know. At plus 200, I took Rebus. It's kind of just a mindset play. I think Rose is the better overall fighter, but who knows? And I feel like dogs have been hitting in main events, and this is women's MMA. Now, this isn't low-level women's MMA, but it's still a big dog in a fight that there's lots of question marks when it comes to Rose.
Yeah, just looking through the record here. Did you see that Rose got choked out by Jillian Robertson in some grappling match?
Yeah, I did.
That's not great. I mean, like, Jillian Robertson's a fine grappler, and maybe she's much better grappling than she is in MMA, but even still, not ideal. And I don't know how much confidence I can have in one of the few women's fighters that I see as being chinny. And she's been cracked a lot and not necessarily by the heaviest hitters and doesn't react well. So this could be one head kick away from just being over absolutely early, and Thug Rose is back and all that shit that Cormier says every time she fights. I hope he's not on commentary for this if I'm watching it, because I don't know that I can do it. I don't know that I have the willpower. All that said, I just, as you alluded to, does she want to be there? Doesn't seem like it, but it's never seemed like it. So that's one of those things that it's hard to judge when it comes to Rose. She's more talented on the feet. I've seen some people saying that, like, she's kind of the better grappler too. And like, no, she's not.
Maybe against a real 125er that could somewhat grapple. It's a bit dicier when it comes to Rebus, who's a kind of a tweener between the divisions. So it's not like she's going to be able to muscle Rose.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of question marks in this fight for me, so I'm probably just going to pass. I don't necessarily love the totals on it either. Just uninspiring stuff, Sean. I wish I had more for the people to close it out on this card, but I think after Carl Williams's thrilling performance, they might not be ready for any more come main event time. So yeah, over under on fights that I watched this weekend, 1.5. We'll do minus 110, both sides. Go.
I'll take the over. I think you watched two. I think there's two fights. Now, are we talking fights, or if somebody gets finished, are you going to watch that? Does that count as a fight?
We'll say fights that I watched the entirety of. So if that's like a clip, like a one of those 20
and,
second
and are we talking live, or are we talking like, are you going to go back and watch these?
Both. For up until the start of next week's
next
show.
Next week? Yeah. I think there's going to be two.
Okay. Keep in mind, last week, although I was out of town, we had one before we got to the show this weekend. So this week I'm in town. Conceivably, I will be at home in time to watch. What time is this? It's going to be, this is like a later card too, isn't it?
Well, it's the main card starts at fucking 10 Eastern.
So I will be home in time to watch the entire main card of this, most likely. So maybe I set the line too low, because what else might... No, that's not true. I would absolutely turn on a lacrosse game before I turn on these fights on Saturday night. So I like it. I like it. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. Is there anything else we want to leave the folks with before we get out of here?
I don't think so. We have to sacrifice to get to 300. A couple Apex cards back-to-back is not helping. We're going to Atlantic City the next week. And then back in the Apex.
At least there's a crowd, which means that like there's going to be some interest somehow, right? Yeah. I know the main event is... God, I'm scrolling through this.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Chris Weidman's going to die.
Yep.
Oh, but we got my boy Jacob Malkoon back. And Petrovsky's a Pennsylvania guy, I want to say. Which is like practically New Jersey. Sorry, Pennsylvania. It's true. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not good. Julio Arce, I like watching him fight. He's on the prelims. He's going to carve up old Herbie Burns.
Yeah.
And the Pleasure Man back for one last run.
Oh, no.
The prelims on this, I hope this card order is right, because the prelims are so much better than the main card.
There's no way.
I hope this is right. That would be hilarious.
You never know. You never know with the UFC.
Anyway, that's what's happening next week. But for now, I wish I had more to leave you with, folks. But just, I need a muse. Not to a muse. I need a muse. UFC isn't doing it for me right now. They need to pick up their sticks. We'll see you next week.